Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I got to tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics. I got to.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Face-to-face, it's Sportsaholics episode.
That's live. That's right in front of you. That's not over the phone. That's me. I'm looking right at you.
That's why the levels just are so hard to adjust right now at home. Sorry if we just blew. There we go. Sorry if it's episode 91, the Dennis Rodman episode.
The Meta World Peace episode?
Or Meta World Peace, or Ron Artest, as I knew him for years. And I remember, I actually remember watching Ron Artest, Ron, as you may know him also.
I may know him as a
or Meta World Peace also. But actually in the McDonald's All-American game, way back, would have been like 96, I believe, something like that.
Sure.
At that time, I was into basketball, and I actually remember in 92, I think it was, watching Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the McDonald's All-American game.
I love Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah, he had a great career. I mean, it was kind of not quite Hall of Fame, but you know, he was stuck in Dallas for all those years.
He was a guy when you were making up your own NBA teams on your video games, you ended up taking Stackhouse. Like he was a great swingman. He was like in an era of swingmen, he was
I mean, and his name was Stackhouse. It was like the original DeBrickshaw Ferguson kind of. You know, like I mean, it was a great basketball name, Stackhouse,
yeah, yeah.
Like a Jesus Shuttlesworth kind of.
He's but a anyway, stack.
But it was Ron Artest. They were like, he went to St. John's, headed to St. John's, and he did this dunk where he started baseline, kind of lobbed it up and came under the backboard, dunked it, which at the time was groundbreaking, I'm sure.
Airbreaking.
Might have jumped over some kids. But since changed his name to Meta World Peace, went over to China for a couple of years, which was kind of shocking because, you know, now he's even back. He's back, right? He plays for the Lakers again, doesn't he?
He might. I mean, I don't know.
I think
Kobe.
He does. Anyway, they're the Lakers, and no one cares about them. They're hardly even an NBA team at this point.
Somebody just thinks if we have Ron Artest around, Kobe will think it's like 5 years ago and still be able
I know
to play.
He tried his hand at comedy, where he did Ron.
Sure.
Meta World Peace was doing stand-up for a while, so I guess.
I think he produced a Showtime show. Like, I think there's a stand-up comedy.
Something. And then Rodman. Rodman was just a beast. I mean, he was a guy that approached offense like every kid in the country does, but defensively. You know, it's like when you grow up, all you want to do is shoot and practice jump shots. And
yep.
All he did was rebound and play defense. And
well, I mean, Rodman has that crazy story where he didn't go to college.
Oklahoma A&M Tech.
Or right, but that's because he's like a sky cap in the San Antonio airport or something, or wherever he's from. And suddenly he like shoots up and he's like a 6'8 sky cap. And all of a sudden it's like he is a late bloomer, late growth spurt person that even you could even say that it's like he grew into his body late. So he doesn't have that.
He's got the David Robinson grows 6 inches on a sub and like.
Well, I love that story. I love that David Robinson would always love to have been a sub captain more than he wanted to play basketball.
It'd be so weird having a growth spurt at 20 years old.
I'm not afraid to have another one.
I'm good where I'm at.
I'm good where I'm at. I am totally. But it's
guys, we apologize for the emergency that you hear in the background.
It's live from Sunset. You're live to podcast right
by
now.
By the way, the studio is getting engulfed by skyscrapers. Like what happened to the Hollywood that we grew up in?
Oh, I know, it's changed, man.
I mean, even I was just down on Santa Monica. This is going to be great for those of you listening in Indiana.
The only constant is change, people.
La Brea and Santa Monica?
Sure.
That looks like downtown Manhattan now. It's like they've ripped out that they built around the McDonald's. They left the McDonald's.
The Carl's Jr., that'd be gone.
All that. And now it's like just straight, you know, 10-story apartments. Like there is going to be nowhere to park in this city.
No. But there's a bigger issue that people aren't even considering and for you people who aren't in LA, I'll make this relevant to you. You know how L.A. has a reputation of traffic city, you're stuck in traffic in Los Angeles? I'm telling you, with all the building they're doing here in West Hollywood alone, we have yet to see the traffic problem that is about to become Los Angeles, because they are building. It's like they knocked down a Carl's Jr. Or, you know, for those of you who aren't in California, you don't realize most of the apartment buildings out here aren't over two stories. There are a lot of a lot of bungalows. There are a lot of very almost like motel style apartment buildings,
like where you walk in.
A lot of courtyards,
like the old Melrose Place. You walk in, there's a huge pool, your spot.
I have two. Yeah,
you open your front door and you could like you mentioned, like motel style. You look out and you can see the front doors of everyone on your level, and then repeat that on a second level, and then
also
you're
the
done.
Fact that, remember, we're in earthquake country, so let's not build tall. Let's just not do that. Here's a good idea. Let's build with wood and we'll build small. That way our big shit doesn't crumble on top of us. But now what they're doing is they have this building that is like shops on the first floor and then 4 to 6 units, either apartments or condominiums. So you're talking about tens of thousands of people, and all their cars are going to be descending. The Sunset West Hollywood area of 2018 is going to be vastly different than the one you left to go find and get engaged in beautiful San Diego, my friend.
Well, the thing is, it's. I predict, especially when the House of Blues goes down, it's going to be Vegas Junior in the sense locals. I'm not driving on Sunset Boulevard. Why would you want to drive on Sunset? It's going to become that bad.
Yes.
And that avoidable because there are no storefronts. It just goes straight up now, 12 stories, and they did it over there by Carney's. Carney's will probably be gone in the next 10 years.
How dare you?
There's no way a hot dog stand is pulling in that much money to sustain from being bought out. I mean, it's what you're fighting against here, I guess, you know, in our studio location. Someday we may relocate. Who knows?
Someday we may relocate.
But to get back with Rodman was just a monster. And so he went from throwing luggage around at an airport to just jumping there. Then he goes to a community college, right?
Right.
In Colorado or Oklahoma. And then from there, drafted second round by the Pistons in
80s. Yeah, because he's the worm. He's part of the bad boy Pistons, but he's not a starter. He's not. In fact, he's also one of the guys that he actually gets Isaiah Thomas in trouble during because that was the whole thing. Rodman, before Rodman was the Rodman we know, he's just young Dennis Rodman. He was nicknamed the Worm, and he's a backup defensive substitution, you know, for the bad boys. You know, but John Sally's getting more playing time than Rodman is. And he says something after one of the games, after one of the losses to the Boston Celtics, he's like, well, if Larry Bird weren't white, no one would be saying how great he was. And Isaiah agreed with him, and everyone made Isaiah eat his words, is what happened. And Rodman didn't even really have to apologize, but it was one of those things that I would say ended up keeping Isaiah off the dream team because, you know, Magic... Jordan already hated him. Jordan hated him, and then Larry hated him. And even though Magic evidently kissed him on a court, Magic wasn't going to bring him on the team because he loves Magic and Bird more. I mean, Michael and Bird.
I think, but that was before they really knew how HIV was transmitted, so he's trying to actually give him HIV.
Well, hey, man. You know, it's like we're also now living in the shadow of Charlie Sheen's big announcement.
Yeah, that was, huge. Huge announcement.
Also relative because that goes to the Cleveland Indians and the Great Wild thing. You know, that means things got a little crazy for those Cleveland Indians.
It's weird. I mean, I remember being a kid with the Magic Johnson announcement. It was before they had the tickers on the
bottom. Oh, sure.
You know, it just went the newscast, the news anchors are barely in their seats.
Right.
Just to say, okay, we're going live to this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden... Yeah, I've got this disease, and you're thinking, "Oh man, he's gonna die."
No, he's gonna die. I mean, it's like I'm in college, and what Magic Johnson has just said is, "I am going to die," because Rock Hudson had the exact same about 3, 4, 6 years earlier. Rock Hudson had the you know, it's like when a person says they have AIDS, that person is saying, "I have a death sentence," and it's
HIV. When I have HIV,
he has HIV, but the HIV meant AIDS. It's like so HIV meant AIDS, AIDS meant death. And you know, and you couldn't separate these things. Now it's become a chronic condition.
Well, then immediately after, you know, he's still playing in the league. And I remember there was the All-Star game. He came back, was MVP of, I believe, in 93.
Well, it's because he retires, plays for the Dream Team, comes back. Then there's a lot of blood phobia.
Karl Malone, I believe, was a big...
Sure.
Which is an easy thing to say in Utah. I mean, try saying that, you know, if you play for Golden State.
I think it's... You know what? I think it's a valid concern. It's just you're demonized when you're the guy who says it. I got to be honest with you. It's like... I'm not a smart man. I think, and I'm not saying I side with Karl Malone, but I could easily see myself being just as insensitive as Karl Malone in that instance.
Yeah, I guess in that time period as well.
I'm not even saying now. I'm not, as a person who lived through that, I think I'm one of the old men. Like, yeah, back in my day, AIDS meant death. Yeah, so it still freaks me out a little bit.
Well, yeah, especially with us knowing... you know, we have a mutual friend
that's sure.
diagnosed, and he, you know, his stories are horrific of just watching all the people he knew just that had it pass away. And then come to find out he's got some weird, like, genetic thing. Like, he said that something in his lineage where back in, like, Ireland or Scotland, there was a big plague and it killed a bunch of people, but it didn't affect certain people because they had something in their body. And he's, like, got a little bit of that. Which is
all right. Well, I hope that
claim, you know.
I hope that to be true.
But either way, he's had, you know, 28 years, 30 years now, you know, diagnosed, still living. Love you, buddy. Hope, you know, happy and healthy, kicking ass down there at the Hollywood parades every year.
Absolutely,
winning thousands of dollars with costumes. But Rodman, actually, I bounced him out of the comedy store one time when I was working there, and because he was being he was back in the corner and being obnoxious and just talking to all the comics, and this was. Potluck night, you know, it was like 30 people in the crowd,
right?
And they're all sitting in the crowd, and he's back way in the right. dark shadows yelling stuff. So all you just hear is loud noises, and he was with two girls that would maybe laugh,
sure.
But you don't just look, you know, well, you don't really see him even when you look back. I knew it was Dennis Rodman. A lot of people didn't until we were, and then I had to go over there and be like, "Yeah, you've got to leave." And he's like, "What? Why do I got to leave?" I'm like, "Cause you're ruining the show. You're talking." Through everybody. It's been three straight comics, man. You got to go. All right. And then, plus he was very...
trashed.
Yes, it seemed like. It's always weird because whenever... It never fails that whenever I was be working at the comedy store, or really actually just... If you're ever up at the comedy store and you see a celebrity randomly, you know, be it like Coolio
right.
or like Dennis Rodman, you know, just know that within the next... 2 weeks, they're going to be on TMZ having done something horrific.
That's true.
Because it's like
that's absolutely true.
You somehow on your descend down from fame and stardom.
Yeah,
you somehow have to come through and enter the comedy store, and somehow like that's that part of the ride. And then you just go there.
That's right.
And then you leave, and then sure enough, at that point, you've gone so far down that it's so slippery.
Robin Williams, after the premiere of a red carpet treatment for his movie RV, came to the comedy store, drank with our mutual friend Rick Ingram for his birthday. 2 weeks later, in rehab.
It never fails. There's several old school. Like, there would be, oh, man, I forget the actress. I think she was my cousin Vinny.
Marissa Tomei?
Yeah, didn't she? Wasn't she hanging out like 10 years ago at the comedy
Lara
store?
Lara Flynn Boyle.
That's what Lara I
Lara Flynn Boyle hung out a ton.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing here? It's like, I get it. You know, no one's bothering you. Maybe that's what it is. It's some sort of sanctuary from just feeling like you're being...
No, but Lara Flynn Boyle was hanging out like a chick hangs out there. I mean, it was like weird. I remember that because you're like, wow, you're just hanging out.
And then there was a... Shia LaBeouf's dad.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
That fucking guy.
Sure. Jeff LeBeau.
Oh, man. Know, celebrities, if you're, just know that if you pass through the comedy store, like if you're feeling down and things aren't going well and you're like, I want to go to the comedy store and feel better, you might feel better temporarily, but just know within the next 14 days, you're going to be under arrest for something.
For those of you who don't know, the comedy store in Los Angeles is based on a hell mouth. It's a portal of power.
Dude,
it's a magic rock.
It's
in
a
the
weird.
Desert.
It's a weird thing, and I know our Midwest, our Kansas City listeners specifically. It's got kind of like a stole Kansas kind of like gateway to hell kind of vibe. I personally I've seen a ghost there. Those of you that don't believe in ghosts, all right, that's fine. But when you see one, you're like, oh. So those things are around. That's cool.
I'll say this. It's one of those things where I've never seen a ghost, but I still, to this day, there are parts of the comedy store.
I love your philosophy.
I have never gone into a part of the comedy store that I have not been invited into or told it was cool to go to. So, like, to this day, I've never been in the lighting booth in the main room because there's never actually been a reason for me to go there. And so I never cross the building. I don't ever cross the building.
But it's one of those where numerous times, so during the Northridge quake of 94, there's a huge earthquake, power out everywhere except the Comedy Store.
Oh, I was there for a Halloween.
And it's just one of those things where, look, it's been documented a bunch, and yeah, was somebody drunk when they saw it go? Sure, yeah. But it's just enough weird stuff, and you got to go there to experience it. Like, the walls are just, everything's painted black and red, so you walk in and it's kind of creepy. Even during the day, it's creepier during the day when the building's asleep, kind of. You know what I mean? You go in there and every room's black.
Yeah.
And there's only two people in the entire building.
Right.
You know, and you're just, you can hear creaks and just, oh, man. Yeah, you got to go. That's what we're saying, to really understand what we're talking about. But at the same time, it then turns into like this great nightclub. Comedy club.
It is. For four, one of the all-time best.
But if you think about it, that's only from 9 to 2 a.m., so if that's only 5 hours of the day that thing's
all
running.
All right, it's episode 91, everybody. It's the Metta World Peace episode. It's the Rodman episode. It's Kevin Green, if you want. We got to get this. It's a big week.
Yeah, okay.
It's a big week.
We're going to start off with, we've got Joshua Briscoe. You can find him on Twitter, at Rock Chalk Blog, at Arrowhead Addict. And then his personal account at JB Briscoe, BRISCO. Come on, talk about.
We're going to talk about, is Peyton Manning dead? Come back after this. We'll decide from a Chiefs fan perspective. Super Chief fan, Joshua Briscoe.
we have. Hey, Josh, it's good. It's don't good. Worry, you can hear it. You can hear it. Going back to Kansas. Right, we are back on Sportsaholics, and we're lucky to take a few minutes out of his busy, busy day. Joshua Briscoe, Royals, or I'm sorry, I got Royals on my mind still. It's hard to switch into Chiefs into football now. I forgot there was an NFL season going on. But Joshua Briscoe, writer at Arrowhead Addict and at Rock Chalk Blog. You can find him on Twitter, JB Briscoe, BRISCO. Mr. Briscoe, how are you doing today? Welcome to Sportsaholics for the first time.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on. And it's hard to be in a bad mood after the Chiefs finally beat the Broncos. It's felt like a lifetime, but Sunday I think made it all worth it.
It was in such an unbelievable fashion as well, with the five interceptions. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch the entire game, but were any of the interceptions earned? And by that meaning, were they all just horrible passes? We're watching the last few months of Peyton Manning's career.
Well, after the game came out that Manning has the torn ligament in his foot, and that makes a whole lot of sense in retrospect, because watching him try to step into passes, he wasn't stepping into them well, he wasn't following through well, and he never had enough on the ball ever. I mean, I'm looking right now at his stat line. It's 5 for 20, and it was a 0.0 quarterback rating. Obviously, four of the picks were his, and then one of them was Osweiler's. We've said over and over, watching Peyton Manning the last couple of years, there have been so many times you can go, all right, this is it, he's finally done. But this time, I hate to actually believe it, but it's the most done Peyton Manning has ever looked. And the passes just weren't getting there fast enough, and that's something we've seen Peyton Manning have, like, a dead arm coming back from his neck surgery and everything. But his career's had four extra years that people would never have bet on. The Colts wouldn't bet on it. The Colts went and got Andrew Luck instead.
Yeah.
No. But at this point, it looks like he's finally on his way out.
Okay, you know, in Washington, to throw a baseball comparison, you know when they have the presidents, they run around, or I guess it could be the hot dogs at any other park, but you know how they, like, they're straight, stiff? Like, it's like their torso is like two-thirds of the body, and it never bends as they're running. Like, that's what Manning looks like right now when he's out on the field. Yeah. Like, no mobility at all, and just completely, just, it's weird. It's very, because you know he wants to. It's like the mind. It's like he has multiple MS, but in a football sense. Like his mind is still sharp, probably sharper than ever. Body, nowhere to be found. And Joshua, I want to bring in my co-host Eric Marino here. And let me preface this. A few things. Listener, we're having some technical difficulties. So if Mr. Briscoe has to repeat the question, please forgive him there. That may occur. And then, Joshua, for you, Eric's a New England fan. He's a Tom Brady guy, so he's kind of in that same boat that's slowly sinking because Brady can't play.
What are you talking about? A sinking boat. Let's see the difference between. We have just seen the difference between what 38
Did I mention he's from the East
and
Coast?
And what 39 is. Now, first of all, Joshua, what I'd like to say is I'd like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you to every Kansas City Chief and every Kansas City Chief fan for finally helping out with the cause. Because for it has been 2 years and it has been driving me crazy. Every Patriots fan out there knows we're like, will someone, for the love of God, in the AFC West start beating up on this dying, stick a fork in him, he's done, Peyton Manning. Now, if you would, sir, would you please compare and contrast this game with the game that we just saw, which could well mark the beginning of the end, if not the end for Peyton. To game two, week two, which was a maddening sort of game where it's like, I don't know who your defensive back number 30 is, but he literally let...
Jamel Fleming.
Yeah, he let Jamel three Fleming, footballs go.
Known Kansas City as the guy who gets toasted by Peyton Manning once a year.
But they were putting... This wasn't being toasted. This was dropping interceptions that were thrown to him. And especially because you had those horrible, both Alex Smith and Jamal Charles, like, dropped it in the end zone. I mean, dropped it in the red zone and then in their own red zone. Yeah. Which led to a horrible upset or a defeat, which may in some ways have really sent the Chiefs' season on a little bit of the skids. While meanwhile, Peyton is getting away with these tricks, and all of a sudden was 6-0 and 7-0, and people are pretending that oh my God, after the Packers game, and he has a stat line of over 300 yards, like he's still any good. So what I want, if you could take us, like, because I really thought you guys should have had him in week two. How do you feel?
Absolutely. No, there is no excuse for that game in week two. Obviously, we saw this on Sunday, how big of a role turnovers played. Well, the Chiefs, I mean, they gave that game away in week two so many times, at home, Thursday night, everything was going the Chiefs' direction. You know, a chance to be kind of like the changing of the guard in the AFC West.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, if the Chiefs win that game, not only are they 5-4, they're probably 6-3. They beat either the Bears or the Vikings. One of those games they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
I think that game, no pun intended for the Patriots, but I think that game deflated the Chiefs in a pretty big way to where it took this long for them to rebound these last 3 weeks playing Landry Jones and Matt Stafford and the rotting corpse of Peyton Manning. But no, believe me, all Kansas City fans, I'm sure, for the first time, are happy to help the Patriots cause because we finally had a common goal.
Well, my other question is, I mean, now what was your reaction to, it's like, it was amazing. They pull Peyton Manning with 6 minutes to go in the third. And so maybe it's the beginning of the Brock Osweiler period, or it's just clearly not his day. And then even more than that, CBS out here anyway in Los Angeles.
But even when Peyton hasn't been Peyton's day, which has been very few in the past, like he still gets to finish.
But CBS didn't even let him finish. I'm saying when Peyton got pulled from the game, they pulled the plug on, like, they went to the Patriots Giants for the last 7 minutes of that game.
Thankfully, that game was incredible. But
absolutely. But what did you feel when Gary Kubiak suddenly came out and it was just like, that was my fault? I mean, he threw his whole body under that bus. That was my fault. Peyton was hurt. It was like suddenly we didn't know that Peyton was this hurt, that he had a partial tear. And all of a sudden it's this tear and that tear. And you know, I'm a Patriots fan. So as you know, I'm very concerned about the integrity of the game, and I don't know if any of this problems was announced on the injury report. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't seem to be on the injury report, much like Andrew Luck's injuries weren't on the. I mean, I don't know, but
yeah,
there seems to be.
Andrew Luck, yeah.
So where do we do? What are we doing?
Peyton Manning. There was some stuff swirling before the game, leading up to it, as there was with Emmanuel Sanders and all these different little injuries. Manning did end up being on the injury report before the game,
right?
But Kubiak. As noble as that was of him to say, he never had a choice. You're never going to go into a game and not start Peyton Manning. Now they're going to next week because we saw it happen. But Manning just looks, if not great, good enough to win, obviously. last week, even though the Colts finally knocked him off. Because the defense is, and they had 7 wins at that point. You can't brush Peyton Manning to the sideline and say, let me go with Brock Osweiler, because Peyton's at 100%. He wasn't 100% last year for the second half of the season, and he still played all the time, and they still ran away with the division. You can never just bench Peyton Manning ahead of time. Kubiak did what we had to do, which was start Peyton Manning and then let him lose the game, and then going forward, you can try to give Osweiler
with that fan base especially. I agree with you 100%, because if you bring in Osweiler, which keep in mind, he's a Broncos guy, meaning he grew up in Montana, went to college at Arizona State, was a star there, you know, and he's got that in the makings Aaron Rodgers story where you back up a veteran and you learn everything that they learn. And the Broncos fans know him and they love him. He's kind of got like that Madison Bumgarner, rough, I'm a Montana guy.
He's like 6'10 or something.
Yeah, that too. But he's, you know, and he's got like all those Ryan Leaf attributes without being an alcoholic and a pill popper. And so, even though they know all that and they love this guy to death, you're no way they can walk him out there. Like, you have to go to Broncos Nation and say, see, look at this. This is what we're dealing with. So that's why we have to start Brock now. Okay. Understand that this is the best that we're getting out of Peyton Manning. And you have to show them that for, I guess, 45 minutes worth of actual playing time before they'll actually believe you. So, I mean, really, to save a ton of criticism, which sounds ridiculous saying, like, that was the best move for the Broncos. That was their only move.
Well, he was sitting there. Remember, he didn't get the Packers. He didn't beat Favre's yardage mark in the game before. Like, he was held just 3 yards or something underneath it.
That was added additional pressure.
And the other thing was that he was tied with Favre for wins as a starter. And so that was in the mix. So you sort of had to put him out there. And first of all, Joshua, let me ask you, what do you think Peyton Manning is going to do with that game ball? Because they stopped the game. They gave him that ball. I mean, do you really think he wants to put that anywhere in the trophy shelf? I mean, that seems like
the worst game of his career.
Yeah, yeah.
It was such a monumental.
Forget about deflating that ball. I mean, that needs to be imploded. That just destroy that thing.
He could have taken any amount of air out of any of those footballs. Never would have helped him. No, yeah, that special yard-breaking football, it'll end up somewhere, probably in Canton, because I don't think Manny's going to want it in his house to wake up and look at every morning.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I was upset, you know, not upset, but I was bummed out when he didn't get to break it in Indianapolis against the Colts. Not because I cared about him doing it in Indianapolis. I just didn't want to have to watch it happen against the Chiefs and then watch him win by 21 points in Denver for the eighth time out of eight tries.
Well,
so
I mean,
to have that book ended by such a horrible game was, it made the whole yardage record not matter to me one little bit.
Yeah,
oh, no, it totally tainted the record. And then the other thing to remember, I think, is that, you know, when you're trying to beat Brett Favre for his all-time wins as a starter and all-time yardage marks, it should be remembered that at the end of Brett Favre's career, he threw a ton of interceptions. I mean, his career was marred.
Well, he threw the interception that cost him the trip to the Super Bowl.
Right. I'm just saying it's when you pass these, it's like a depth marker that maybe no man should pass. Like, once you pass this many yards, hey man, there's no turning back. You're going to become Peyton Manning's leading the league in interceptions. He has almost twice as many INTs as
he does.
We're
seeing
TD.
This is the first generation of from rookie year till the end of it where you're getting the best care, the best, this is bad for you, this is good for you, hyperbolic chambers of oxygen, all this crazy stuff. I mean, the fact that Peyton's had numerous neck surgeries and is still out there taking snaps is unbelievable and probably wouldn't have been able to occur in 1998. You know, and so now we're actually seeing the limits that these players are being asked to take their bodies to.
Yeah,
it's incredible to see. I mean, look at Kobe Bryant this year. He can barely put on a uniform, you know, and that happened. I mean, he's been hurt the past couple of years, but it happens overnight. Allen Iverson, I mean, the list is pretty incredible. Everyone except for Bartolo Colon, this will happen to.
That's true. I don't think Bartolo Colon has any muscle fibers to tear. Somehow he's made of solid fat.
Good point.
But Joshua, I'm curious. As a Patriot fan, it's like we've made the announcement. Kubiak's made the announcement that Peyton Manning is going to sit. But I almost feel like they're going to sit him almost like a pitcher. They need to rest that heel. They rest that foot. But then it's going to be a thing where they'll keep telling us it's a game time decision for the Patriots. That way the Patriots will have to study both sets of film. Like, they won't be able to rule Peyton out. And I'm assuming Peyton probably won't play, but maybe he does. Maybe he gets it up one last time. What do you think?
Well, I think we'll see Peyton again. I don't think it'll be against the Patriots, though. Right. And I think an interesting thing that I saw on Twitter after the game is that Eli Manning played with a fully, with a, that tendon in his foot, he played with it fully torn. But
yes.
Manning,
wow.
from what I have seen, is partially torn, which they say is actually more painful and harder to deal with.
I've seen the same
and
report.
And as you said, Osweiler, go ahead.
No, I saw the exact same. I've seen the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah, okay. So Osweiler's going to play this week. The Bears' defense has given up, especially the first half of the season, they were the worst defense in the league based on points given up. So I think Osweiler's going to have a pretty good chance. New England's going to win in Denver either way. And, I mean, if last week didn't show you enough, you have nothing to be afraid of with Peyton Manning right now. And that is so foreign for me to say because I watched him just step on the Chiefs' neck for my entire life. But there's nothing to fear there. I think the biggest threat for the Broncos in the playoffs this year, even looking ahead for the Patriots game, is that Brock Osweiler has, six really good games from here on out. He starts to gel with the offense. The defense gets their players back, and they stop gouging other guys in the eyeball. That defense comes back together, and then they go into the playoffs with Brock Osweiler at the helm if he's playing well. But if Osweiler, if he has a bad game at Pittsburgh, then maybe Peyton Manning comes back those last couple of weeks and then tries to make one last playoff run.
Now, so at this point, to get back with playoffs in mind, is that something that's realistic for the Chiefs? Or, I mean, looking forward at their schedule, is that looking favorable now? Like knowing what the teams actually are that they're going
to
be facing.
And don't be afraid to expand that to the whole AFC West. Like handicap the AFC West looking at...
Well, the Chargers are done.
I understand, but Peyton Manning is now injured. You have a 7-2 wounded beast out there.
And the Raiders out of nowhere are playing,
playing 4-5 ball.
Yeah,
so if you're in the AFC West, you're in the Chiefs, there's the Raiders. How do you handicap a literal limping Broncos as the division leader? Do they make it? Do they limp into the playoffs? Do they get caught? What happens?
I think they have a really short showing in the playoffs, but I still think they get there. Now, looking at the Chiefs and the Raiders and what both of them can do, the Chiefs have a cushy schedule from here on out. It's division teams and the Browns and the Ravens and the Bills.
Beautiful.
The Chargers twice and the Raiders twice. The Chiefs can make their way into the playoffs completely by their own accord from here on out. And you said the Chargers are completely done, and the Raiders have looked good at times, but they've really fallen flat the last couple of weeks. I'm looking at the Broncos schedule here. Like, they're 7-2 now. If they can win three of these games, even though they split with the Chiefs, I think they win the division, and I think they will win three of these games, although they have a much harder go of it than the Chiefs do. Ultimately, though, I think the Chiefs are fighting for a playoff spot, although, just as an aside for the AFC, who currently, obviously, the Patriots and the Bengals would have the 1-2 seats and the week off and the home field advantage until they meet, obviously. But the wild card teams, which could be the Steelers, the Jets, maybe the Bills, maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Raiders, those two teams in the wild card rounds will be going, as it stands currently, to Denver, maybe with Brock Osweiler, and to Indianapolis, which could be Matt Hasselbeck. So you might see
you're counting out the Houston Texans there.
I'm sorry,
I stepped on you, but I said you're counting out the Houston Texans there.
Say that again.
The Houston Texans are tied for first atop the AFC South at 4-5.
Listen, if I can see the Chiefs play T.J. Yates on the road in the playoffs, I will take that every day of the week.
Absolutely. So listeners, that's at JB Briscoe, JB Briscoe. Obviously, well informed with the Chiefs Nation, the Chiefs Insight. And you can read that, follow that on Twitter at Arrowhead Addict, at Arrowhead Addict. But Joshua wanted to talk about Kansas because you're a Jayhawker. You blog about it, the Rock Chalk blog. Google that on Twitter also. How's Kansas looking this year? I know that, the preseason top five, stumbling over myself because I've said it so many times, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky. That's the perennial four out of the top five, it seems like, year after year. And then recently, the year after year, KU has just tripped up, stumbled. I mean, even with the Andrew Wiggins, Perry Ellis has kind of been the rock there. Probably should have gone pro after his freshman year when his stock was as higher then than it's been since. So really, he's playing for money, or a good draft position. I don't think it'll ever quite get to where it was when he was 18, But he's an amazing player. I mean, is this finally the year that they can at least get to a championship game? I mean, are the tools there? They got the leadership?
Yeah, I think overall KU has the best chance to actually make a tournament run that they've had in the last several years. And there's no accident that they're always at the top. You can chalk it up to Bill Self. You can chalk it up to him always having guys in his recruiting classes that develop over time. Like you said, Perry Ellis is he's a senior this year. He's going to be the key of this team. The biggest storyline, locally at least, is Chek Diallo. And I don't know how well his name is known nationally, but with Rock Chalk Blog and everything surrounding it, and we have a podcast on Rock Chalk Blog.
Say that. Repeat his name one more time.
That's the most talked about singular thing we have there, is Chek Diallo. What's going to happen? He still hasn't been cleared by the NCAA. He's an incoming freshman, big center, and just a wealth of potential. And KU fans are already seeing shades of Cliff Alexander last year, who had all of his NCAA troubles. This is completely different. This is an academic-related thing. And I think Diallo will get cleared eventually. But don't get hung up on him for looking at KU as a title contender. Now, no KU fans are excited about Jamari Traylor, Hunter Mickelson, and Landon Lucas, the other three guys who can step in at center, because none of those are explosive guys. But all of them, those three, I believe, can create a rotation that will be good enough because of how good the rest of this team is. Perry Ellis is going to lead the team in scoring. Frank Mason and Devontae Graham are two fantastic guards. The deepest team we've seen from Kansas in quite a while, with, you know, Wayne Selby going, he looked great in the World University Games over in Korea this summer, where KU went and played representing the United States. They won that tournament. Not to mention, you know, the next five guys in the depth chart. So not only is KU have some real talent at the top, it's the deepest that they've been in years.
Well, it's a nice mix of, you know, it's guard play gets you far. Defense seems to be always, you know, above average, you know, with Bill Self. But they've got the senior leadership, which is void of most teams nowadays. I mean, really, just citing Kentucky, really.
What's a college senior?
Exactly. If it's not some foreign exchange guy from Australia who's like a seventh year senior, like that's there's that guy, and then there's nobody else, no other seniors in college basketball. So to actually have a legitimate star of the team be there for 3 years, now going into his fourth year. Legitimate captain type of guy. I think that'll make the difference, you know, when he's like playing, you know, in his 180th game for KU or whatever it may be, you know, come March, and all that experience, you know, and leadership, I think that'll pay dividends.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing in March that we've talked about a lot on the show at Night Rock Talk Blog is how important guard play is. Experience,
yes,
and guard play are probably the two biggest factors in March. Now, it doesn't explain or help explain, you know, why KU fell on their faces last year. That was just a good Wichita State team. And KU, you know, gets outshot in those games, just threes rain down on them. That's happened, you know, and plenty of times for KU fans to start having PTSD whenever March Madness brackets come out. But the guard play of Graham and Frank Mason, plus, like you said, all of that senior leadership and Bill Self at the helm of it all, I hope this isn't an exaggeration, but if this team not getting into the Sweet 16 would probably be the most disappointing showing from a KU team based on preseason expectations that I can remember in the last handful of years.
It might be the straw that breaks the back, and not that Bill Self would ever get fired, coach for life for sure, but it might be enough where he's like, yeah, maybe I will take that job in San Antonio, which for some reason is it. What's the San Antonio connection? Why is that always the rumor that Bill Self or am I just hearing, you know, made up stuff? Have you heard that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, say that again. What about Self, that last thing you said?
San Antonio. I always hear about him coaching in San Antonio.
Oh, sure.
What's the connection there? Because is there any legitimacy to that?
That is always the discussion, and I think as much as anything, that's KU fans trying to figure out, you know, like what's actually a threat to take Bill Self away. And whenever Greg Popovich goes, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of the best jobs, not only in the NBA at that time, but one of the most alluring jobs in recent history in the NBA because of what Popovich has built. And you know, in the talent around him, even as guys like Tim Duncan, you know, head out to pasture, Kawhi Leonard breaks out as a star. So it's legitimate to the point of if Self has any itch to go to the NBA and whenever that job opens, he'd be a fool not to listen to the pitch, you know? And I think he will. But there's until that job is actually opening up, I don't think he has anything to worry about. I mean, I understand that KU's had their tournament failures. So you look at from your guys' perspective, from a more national perspective, what is the most successful college basketball program of the last 5 or 10 years?
It's you say Kentucky. I mean, that's probably due to brainwashing. Kentucky.
But if you look at what KU has done this year, unless something terrible goes wrong, they're going to win their 12th consecutive conference title. And that's something Bill Self can't do anywhere else. I mean, building that legacy here and continuing on, you know, from what Roy Williams had, it's just, maybe you could say that Bill Self would want to do the same thing, take me over from what Greg Popovich has. Maybe you think he could continue that legacy in San Antonio. But I don't see it happening anytime soon because I don't think Greg Popovich is on his way out just yet.
Well, especially after they reloaded now with just Leonard, but with Aldridge. I mean,
yeah,
it's
they get
crazy.
A new. That, I was going to say that they get a new Duncan. It's. I mean,
yes.
if you go back,
I was a Suns fan. I didn't like that.
If you go back to the, I think Duncan was 99 draft. It's this weird thing. If you remember, Robinson gets hurt. Right, he's out the entire season for the Spurs. They're horrible without him. He is the Spurs, so they end up with, I think, the top or second pick or wherever they got Tim Duncan. It was probably the first pick in the draft.
The first pick, because the Celtics had two picks in that draft. That was when the Rick Pitino, and we ended up with Ron Mercer of Kentucky and from Colorado, Chauncey Billups. We ended up with the 6 and 8 picks, like the worst that we could have had.
So it's like this fluke thing where you get a Hall of Famer that goes down with an injury, which allows you to draft. It's the anti-Bowie draft. You know what I mean? It's like you did everything perfectly and all the karma was in your favor. And then so now they're just repeating it. Now you get a third generation kind of big man presence. And Aldridge, you know, he wants to win now. He's probably in his 6th, 7th year.
It's a great move, but there was a whole big movement, you would say, that when Duncan goes, Popovich will go. But now you'd say, well, why would Popovich go?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Popovich. Because they've already done the hard stuff. I mean, and he is so good as a day-to-day manager of an NBA team.
You're saying, when you say doing the hard stuff, you mean putting up with Manu. When you say doing the hard stuff, you mean putting up with Manu Ginobili, right? I mean, that's tough. I hear that. No. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. So back to Self. It cut out for a second. I almost put on. I thought I didn't know who was talking. I got scared. Sorry.
Don't worry. When my jokes go flat, they go flat.
Okay, I'm just gonna talk.
Yeah, go. Yep.
There's a reason that Bill Self hasn't been legitimately tied to any of the other NBA jobs. Even the Bulls, it was all about Fred Hoiberg from Iowa State. He's gone now. Demand. There's a reason that Bill Self isn't going to some lower tier NBA job, even talking about the Bulls. That's why I think everyone expects him to want to take a shot at the NBA, and why wouldn't you? He's in his early 50s. Do you think you want to get a shot at the NBA before, you know, get a chance to up your legacy to a different level? But if he's been waiting it out, and if he wants to keep waiting it out for Popovich to leave, that would make all the sense in the world. I think just that logic is the biggest factor for that rumor.
And you know what? And to wrap it up with the basketball talk, I mean, in this day and age, It's not like it was, you know, 15 years ago where an NBA job meant more money, more exposure, you know, all those things. College coaches are being paid. They get paid as much. They get as much exposure now with everyone having their own network and just all the news channels, Twitter and everything else. Sports just dedicated to sports.
And there's more job security, plain and simple.
Yeah, slightly less pressure. I know some coaches don't like the recruiting aspect, but other than the recruiting, and you're traveling to college towns instead of major cities, but you're still flying everywhere. It's not like this huge jump into like, oh, now I've made it. It's like, really, you can be the coach at Colorado basketball and be like, yeah, I'm set for life, you know, really, and make enough money. So it's, I think that the shine and glam of the NBA is gone for coaching.
you could right now, you could name at least the top five NCAA coaches without question. You could probably go down the top 25 and get most of them. Do you know who coaches the 76ers?
I have no idea. It's not Larry Brown anymore.
I just looked it up. It's Brett Brown. I don't know who Brett Brown is, but everyone knows. If you say who's the coach of Kansas Jayhawks, everyone knows Bill Self.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think all of those points are totally valid here as well.
Well, guys, you can read all about it at Rock Chalk Blog. Chiefs stuff always at Arrowhead Attic. Those are both on Twitter. And, of course, Joshua Briscoe's own Twitter handle at JB Briscoe, B-R-I-S-C-O.
If I can pump up one other thing.
Yeah.
On Arrowhead Attic, the main thing I do is the Roughing the Kicker podcast. All Chiefs stuff, so if you go to Arrowhead yes. Attic, you can hit up on the top AA radio. All that's going to be me talking about the Chiefs all the time. So Roughing the Kicker on Arrowhead Attic, Inside the Paint on Rock Chalk Blog, like you said, at Rock Chalk Blog, at JB Briscoe, you can get in touch with me. I've been able to have some more connections and conversations with people this year than ever before, talking Chiefs, Jayhawks, whatever. So anybody wants to jump in on that, I am happy to talk.
Yeah, and clearly, listeners, as Mr. Briscoe has displayed here, very knowledgeable and very well informed, and I mean, which is great. And we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully, as both seasons progress, hopefully positively, we can have you back on and, you know, break everything down, because it's been a pleasure having you. And I didn't even want to tell you this, and I'm going to save it for the end. Eric here, a graduate of Syracuse University, and always quick to bring up.
As soon as you mentioned Roy Williams coaching Kansas, I got excited, because I'll tell you honestly, I hear everything you just broke down about college basketball, but my season doesn't start until Jimmy B gets off suspension for loss of control of his program. So go Cuse, go Cuse.
Oh man, but
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this whole thing and figure out half the stuff you guys said. I think you're doing a really great show. I've enjoyed being on. I'd love to be on in the future, but next time try to get like an actual cell phone to have this conversation instead of using me like a potato in your office.
The problem is they're building all these sky rises all around Sunset here where we record, so it's blocking it's all these rich people. They're out technologying us.
Sounds like a great spot for a sponsor to come to our rescue. We need AT&T or Verizon.
Tell what you're saying. All I can tell is that you have as many excuses as the Patriots after cheating to win a playoff game.
Well, hey, we will be in touch. Joshua Briscoe, thank you for your time, and stay obsessed.
Thank you, guys.
I don't lose to the Colts in the playoffs, Chiefs fan, all right?
Oh!
All right. God damn it. We'll end on that. All right. Until next time. Take care.
Have a good one. Yeah.
Big fan. Joshua, you can come back whenever you want. Guys, and like he's mentioned, go check out his podcast, Chiefs Fans, if you're out there. And bloggers, podcasters, if you want to come on the show, just reach out to us on Twitter. We'd love to talk. I'm trying to lock in something with – I'd love to talk with someone in the Clemson Nation. I don't know anything about your football team, and you might be national champs here in a couple months. So
that's exciting.
And I can go with anybody. So, yes, but – guys, remember, hit up Joshua at JB Briscoe, B-R-I-S-C-O on Twitter. You know, check out his Jayhawks, Chiefs stuff.
What really made me think about was how key this Chiefs win and what happened with Peyton Manning was to the Kansas City sports fan mentality. And I want to pick that up with you for a second, because it's like, you know, hey, look. We've talked at length about this is a royal year. Clearly, now and it is absolutely a Royals year, and you're willing to sacrifice, and you guys are willingly sacrificing. Like, hey, it's not the Chiefs' year, right?
It's never the Chiefs' year. It's right? The Chiefs have had their year. That's my thing. It's like it's getting to the point where it's like maybe it's the franchise. You know, are we not Browns bad, but it's like we'll make the playoffs. But we've had numerous times over the last.
The problem is you're a cold weather city that doesn't admit that it's a cold weather city.
It's a very cold weather city. Go back. I mean, there was a game.
That's what I'm saying. But you play as a fair weather team.
There's a Chiefs-Dolphins game in December and can't do those December 12th games.
Right.
I mean, that could either be a 45 degree at best, at worst, zero. negative 5, 10 degrees. Right. One of those games where they're breathing and it looks like they're just smoking a blunt because there's
right,
so much.
The first 8 games of the season are completely different than the second 8 games of the season. It's as ridiculous as playing by the lake like the Chicago Bears do. All right, but here's what I really wanted to say is, so in that sense, like, I was really ready to talk about, you know, like he was, Josh originally, we were like, the original thing was, hey, listen, we're going to talk Kansas basketball, which made a lot of sense. Hey, the Royals are over. The Royals have won. The Chiefs are dead.
Yeah, I was like trying to switch and, like, up. So, like, and this now, is going to be starting now.
Like, and now, so now it's like, well, let's, you know, the new season of college basketball, and let's talk Bill Self and Kansas Jayhawks. But hey, because maybe the Chiefs can climb out of this grave. I mean, because Peyton is limping. He's out there. He's at 7-2, and he's catchable.
Yeah, the thing is, I think Brock Osweiler. I think he'll do fine. I mean, he's been
that is true.
He's been waiting. He's been getting the reps. I think he's going to be able to step in there and at least win half of those games, which is really all they need.
Hey, they were getting shut out, and then they weren't getting shut out. I mean, Peyton Manning was getting shut out.
Yeah. So I mean, the fact, yeah, the velocity, like, yeah. Anyway, Joshua, thank you. Mr. Briscoe, Joshua Briscoe, thanks for coming on. That was very great. Insightful. Looking, definitely looking forward to having you come back on again. And so we got music. Actually, this is a very, the band's called The Visitors.
Oh, we're talking about a second interview here, people. If you're not following what she's talking about, we have another interview coming up. So tell me about it.
Well, okay, this is a friend of mine from Brazil, and he's lived in the States about 5 years. Iago Duarte's name. Great guy, but an incredible musician. And going into the interview, we'll play some of their songs, The Visitors, band.com. But just talking about coming to America, you know, and soccer. He talked about baseball, trying to learn to play baseball. And what baseball in Brazil, he said, is just not, it's nowhere.
Sure.
Because, you know, the ball and is expensive and
sure,
the glove and everything else. And which to me was incredible considering, you know, with the one of the Royals players was from Brazil, but he learned to play in Puerto Rico in like summer leagues and
right,
stuff. They kind of trained him, old Ewing Kaufman baseball academy kind of style,
sure,
training. But yeah, great guy. And you guys, that's The Visitors Band, but it's with an I. So it's the T-H-E Visitors, V-I-S-I-T-E-R-S band.com. So go check that out. I'll play, this is one of their songs leading in. When we come back, we'll be talking with Iago Duarte, frontman of The Visitors.
Iago Duarte.
Great guy. It was you I saw. They call me late last night. Yeah, it was barely 3 a.m., but I'm sure that your man, he would enjoy that sight. But do you think highly of me or not? A second thought, a subtle tragedy.
It's actually, well, actually, you got it right, you know, but in Brazil, the T sounds like it's Duarte. It's like a little, I don't know, maybe it isn't where I'm from, you know, in São Paulo, it's a Duarte. But if you're like in the south part of Brazil, it's like Duarte.
Yeah, so I did a pretty good Duarte.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, definitely.
That's pretty. Or if you're from Southern America, it'd be like Duarte.
Yeah,
you know, but that's a nice Southern drawl.
Yeah.
So you're from Brazil. I brought you on. One, the music's awesome. Listeners, if you go to The Visitors, V-I, like, start with the T-H-E, Visitors, V-I-S-I-T-E-R-S, band.com, TheVisitorsBand.com. You can find that song, buy it online. But aside from the music, which is fantastic, I brought you on to talk about growing up in Brazil and just soccer, which, you know, is baseball in America. And you've been here in the States how long now?
About 6 or 7 years now I've been here. When I got here, no English at all, so now I'm still learning. You know, so be like, you know, bear with me over here. But
hey, no, it's great. It's great. And so let's talk about soccer. And so where in Brazil are you from exactly? Are you from, you know, I guess the big ones are, you know, Brasilia, like Sao Paulo?
Yeah, no, you're actually right. It's inside Sao Paulo. It's inside Sao Paulo state. It's a little town called Jacareí. In Jacareí, it's probably like 48,000, not even 50K, like, you know, people. And like my grandpa's name was on the street that I was born in. It was after like my great grandpa's name too. So everybody like is really close. But and always like every street you're gonna see people playing with cans or whatever they can find as a ball or something, but soccer or something, you know. If you're Brazil, you know, you don't need to be good, but if you're born in Brazil, you're gonna have it in your blood, you know, and you're gonna, you know, have the tricks and everything, but something that's always with us and everybody.
So is that, so did you grow up, it's just on in the background constantly as far as like the TV or maybe the radio or your, I mean, you grow up knowing who Pele is, I'm assuming.
He's yes.
The Babe Ruth, if you will. Of,
yes.
of, do you know who Babe Ruth is?
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, I got into baseball. It was the first sport in America that I actually to like, because in Brazil, you can't find anything related to baseball or football. And I remember my mom married like an American guy, and she would send me like gifts, and you'd be like a baseball, and I would show my friends, and it's so hard because you can't find anywhere. You can't find a baseball yeah, in Brazil yeah. to buy, or, you know, it's probably like, what, $50, like $100 for a baseball, but it's different. But definitely, yeah, we grew up, and actually, like, my team in Brazil, national team, is called Palmeiras, you know, Palmeiras. It's, you know, green and white, but definitely green is, like, you know, the dominant color, too. And my dad, you know, used to take me
now,
to
when
watch.
When you say national team, is that, like, your state team? Because, I mean, when I hear national, I'm thinking of, like, the yellow and the green.
True.
Like that sort of national team. Now is it like a club? Like, are they paid players?
No, you're right. So in Brazil, it's like this. It's there's of course, you know, the how do you say the a seleção, you know, say in Portuguese, it's like the Brazil team, you know, when they play worldwide, and everybody of course goes to Brazil because the best players from, you know, around the world, you know, they're in Brazil. But in national team, also, like, you know, if you break down every state, they'll have probably like three or four. For example, in São Paulo, they'll have Palmeiras, they'll have Corinthians, which is like a rival team, and they'll have São Paulo, which is also, you know, another team that they're all right, you know, they're good, you know. But those are the three dominant teams that comes from São Paulo State. You know, so there's a lot of
states are in Brazil. I didn't know that you guys even had states. I mean, this is how ignorant Americans are. And keep in mind, the majority of these listeners are going to be spread all across the country. We actually got a lot of troops that listen overseas. And a lot of us have never, most of us have never been to Brazil. I didn't know they had states. I just found out Australia had states not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, besides, you know, the monkey in the jungle. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. We have, we usually have, I believe, 26 states with, you know, with the district, the federal district, you know, which is the capital of Brazil.
Did you know that they had 26 states? Yeah, she, that's your girl right there. Right? You know, it's like she didn't know, so I don't feel that bad. if
how many
girl...
states does Mexico have around that too? Like, probably, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I know that I know that Mexico has states. Yeah. I knew that. I picked that up just living in California because you would meet people there from, like, you know, obviously there's Baja California, and then there's Sonora. True. Is that a state? I got that right. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
I think that's
there
just from watching probably drug cartel stuff on TV, probably.
Or
yeah.
Too much Donald Trump try to be cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, okay. Well, you said Brazil baseball does. So one of the players on my favorite team is Paulo Orlando. It's from Brazil.
Paulo Orlando.
And so he grew up, I'm not sure, like, I know he learned the game in Puerto Rico in the Dominican Republic. Like, he had lived there and, like, had learned to play, taught him. He was, like, a sprinter, like, a world-class athlete. So he kind of just trained himself. But when I told you that originally, was that surprising? You're like, really? A professional baseball player?
Yeah, that's why, because it's something different, you know, because in Brazil, you know, for you about, like, baseball and then, in American football or, like, you know, and everything, that it's different because soccer is definitely, you know, the predominant, you know, thing that's going to go out there. But for me, for example, when I got here, I didn't know English at all. But when I started, you know, like eighth grade, and I saw an opportunity to play a little league around my... gonna go out there. But for me, for example, when I got here, I didn't know English at all, but when I started, you know, like eighth grade, and I saw an opportunity to play Little League around my city here in America. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, and I actually had to learn the rules of baseball so I could play it. But I saw, you know, it was different.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I mean, it's a lot slower than soccer. That's the biggest complaint. Like, soccer moves into an American, you're like, okay, it's 1-1. But say that I heard someone argue, it's like, well, if the goals were worth 7 points, you know, then the score would be 21-14,
yeah,
which is all, yeah, football is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that the scores are worth, true, more. So they're not really scoring that much more than football. And in baseball, you know, the same thing. But with soccer, the game moves constantly. So you got 45-45, extra stoppage time, extra period. Where baseball, there's no clock. It's when you record that 27th out that the game is finally over.
True.
And there's extra innings, and they can go on for 5 hours sometimes if you're lucky.
You know, just like
these crazy long games. And so was that different, like, to play a sport like that for the first time where you're just kind of standing around, if you will?
I think definitely the biggest difference, even though both of them requires, like, a lot of running, because, you know, either if you used to, like, run to a base or to catch, like, a fly ball or something, or to run to score a goal. Definitely, I think 42, two sets of 45 will definitely, like, you know, kill you for some reason if you're not prepared.
The only time I've ever thrown up, I played football, I played a lot of sports. The only time I've ever thrown up in athletics is playing indoor soccer.
Yeah, no, especially that, because imagine, like, a soccer, but, you know, sped up. You know, it's so quick. You know, it's something that, like,
you're just sprinting the entire time.
You're sprinting. And then I was, even though, you know, I'm not as tall, like, you know, as all my friends were, but I like to, I was mostly, like, you know, the goalie, too, because I like to jump, you know, so I would see, like, you know, all those
stall. What's guys. That? Stall. Is that defense?
Oh, no, tall.
Tall.
Like, tall.
Oh, okay.
The
gotcha,
other, like,
gotcha.
The guys, yeah. I know, I'm telling you, man, my accent, you know, hey.
Hey, it's coming around.
It's coming, you know? Around. It's coming. I'll learn eventually. I'll
no,
learn
no, you got it. You got it. I mean, the fact that you're just doing the interview comfortably. You
know, yeah,
it seems,
yeah,
like coming across very nicely, even with the music, you know, that's, yeah, does that help?
I hope you guys like it, you know.
Does that help with the English?
I believe so, because especially for people in Brazil that don't know English at all, I think music, too, it's one of the things that that helps them learn, because, you know, they want to know what the people are saying, and American music, you know, it's very influential, you know, the whole world. So something that, you know, between, like, you know, they play when we have, like, watching the soccer game in between, they'll play a song, and they'll, oh, you know, I like that, you know, but what are they saying? You know, is it related to, you know, is it?
Well, that's, I grew up, I loved, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Manu Chao. Are you familiar with Manu Chao?
Yes, definitely.
So,
definitely.
Like, that's all, you know, it's like Portuguese and Spanish and French and English.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
But, you know, I could sing all the songs and have no idea, really, what any of them mean, you know. But ultimately, it's like I can kind of say foreign words, like kind of like pronounce them properly, at least according to the songs.
No, and I believe it. And sometimes it's not even on the, like, you know, as a songwriter, like, you know, lyric writer, it's not on the music sometimes, on the lyrics, you know. Sometimes I'll write something, you know, and my girlfriend, like, that's not right on the grammar, you're saying the wrong, and I'll be like, but you know what, sometimes on the feeling, you know. Sometimes I'll play something and I don't know, a word will be easier saying with playing a chord, you know, and if I say the real word, it won't go with the chord. So, you know, it has to be,
yeah,
I think,
no,
it's feeling.
Yeah, you find that all the time in music.
Definitely.
You definitely adapt, whether lyrically or musically, to make it fit. And I think that's, you know, that's the hard part, and where, you know, you get good. And
yeah,
the bad.
And we want to create something different, too, you know?
Like, well, and, you know, we'll segue. What was the name of that song that we let in with?
That's actually the first song original we had. It's called Something Else.
Something else. And so, like, I like the song, like you said, like, it's, you know, the bridge, and it's got different, just, it's almost like you managed to mash up, like, three great songs, like, kind of all into one.
Exactly. That's cool. Yeah, see, that's a different perspective. See, but you felt something different, you know. It's
no, it's great, and you know, which is why, like, with the band itself, like, where do you guys draw your sound from? Is that from your head? Is that from other members of the band? Like, where's most of the writing coming from?
Okay, actually, that song specifically, it was a girl that the bass player likes, you know, that has, she has a kid and a boyfriend, you know, but she always likes his stuff. They always, you know, kind of like liking each other's stuff, you know, on social media. And so I wrote one day, you know, he came up. I don't know how, you know, sometimes some melody or a chord or something would come out of the bloom. And as a joke, you know, I did, like, you know, I started, you know, the first verse, like, you know, I know that, you know, your boyfriend would like that side if you see, like, you know, you're getting the call from her, like, you know, at 3 a.m. And so I created, like, a little story and I played, and I was like, dude, that was pretty cool. Like, let's play that again. And then we kept, and then we started the song, and a lot of vibes, you know, were going on, a lot of, like, you know, feelings. And it pretty much, it was a thing that got the whole band together. You know, the drum was like, dude, you know, I'll play this like that, you know. So everybody put together, and then, and that's what, you know, that's what it came out.
Yeah, and that's, and I mean, for a first go around, that's awesome. I know you guys recently played at the House of Blues, and I know that definitely, must have been definitely an incredible experience.
It was nice, especially first time in the main stage as well too. And then we got a good turnout, and our surprise for us was the people reacting to our actually original music. You know, we played something else, and we played a couple other new originals that it's actually one of the ones that we want to put on our first album that we're going to be releasing probably by the summer. Definitely is going to be on iTunes. And we were, you know, we were surprised because they really enjoyed it. So, you know what, we're going to dive in, and we're going to keep it going, you know, and creativity has no end.
No, it doesn't. And as long as you got good people that you're comfortable working with and that you like working with,
yeah,
and you
can definitely
create good stuff with. I mean, you really can't beat that.
Definitely, definitely.
And so tell the visitors again, like Twitter, maybe like Instagram.
The easiest one, if you go Instagram, you can put all together at thevisitorsband.com. And visitors with the E. And the reason we do with the E, it's because we're different. You know, if you do something different, you're going to get different results. You know, and the E is for the experience you're going to feel.
That's no O. That's what that's.
That's
what
no O,
it's
yeah.
The T-H-E, yeah. Visit, not visitors, ERS, visitors.
Visitors.
V-I-S-I-T-E-R-S.
So when band. You know, when you see it, you'll be like, the band. You know, you already know. It's us.
No,
but so, the E.
So go to thevisitorsband.com.
Yeah.
.com at the visitors.
At the visitors band as well.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Instagram. I know we follow one another, which is always appreciated.
And actually, your Twitter, you can go ahead and put the visitors vivo. Same thing as YouTube. And it will be easier to find us.
Okay.
So if you put the visitors, you pop out right there, the visitors band.
Well, okay. So we're going to lead out of this interview with something else. Real quick, plug your favorite football club in Brazil again real quick.
Oh, Palmeiras.
Palmeiras, guys.
Olé, porco. Olé, porco. It's like how do you say the national anthem for the team.
I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, you see.
How do you spell it?
Palmeiras, yeah. It's after the E.
Did that look familiar?
No, hold on. Palmeiras. After the E, it's like P-A-L-M...
E.
Yeah, I. R. Right there. Ole Palmeiras.
Right there?
Uh-huh.
Let me see.
Maybe right here. Maybe that video could be
I know the listener right now is like, what is going on? And this is what's going on. I'm going to try to... Is this it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know, that's the whole thing. We have to be like, you know, really. If I lived in Brazil my whole life, I probably, you know the whole thing, because I'd probably be in every game too. See, this is the perfect example. You know, you can barely understand the lyrics, but you feel the energy. You know, you feel everybody, 20,000 people singing, you know, the same thing. But it's actually something different. You know, it's crazy, like, you know, it's in a baseball game, you know, you feel that.
Now, is that the actual stadium right there that we're looking at?
That's
the home. I mean, so for Americans, this is kind of like picture Michigan, but without stands. It doesn't go all the way around. It would stop at like the end zone. But from, I mean, that's
people are just together.
Yeah, that's got to be at least 50,000 people. Just going nuts,
crazy,
dancing.
And then you see sometimes across the streets they'll have the flag, needs at least 100 people to, like, you know, they'll start opening up, like, the flag so you see, like, you know, across, oh, shoot, like, the thing that like size of a house, like, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's cool.
Yago, thanks for your time.
Yeah, of course. No problem, John.
Listeners, go to The Visitors with an E, Visiters band, thevisitorsband.com. And this is Something Else to Part on our way out. Thanks again.
Right side, back to the right, gentlemen, both hands, right side.
Oi, 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 can you see your truckers? Pardon.
To the left side.
I shit my pants last night. I did. Went out and had a great meal, just a great fucking meal. And I had to go to the bathroom so bad in the car. I'm going, travel, hurry up, man, I got to shit. And I had fucking shit in my pants. And I went and just... I'm good twice a year for that. When was the last time you shit your pants?
Me?
Yeah. Been a while?
It's been a long time.
I was in Vegas a couple years ago. Just an honest to God true story. Staying at the Bellagio. I went over to the Mirage for dinner, met some friends of mine over there. Went to Kokomo's, a great little steakhouse. The guy brings out some fresh crab legs. These just came in, I gotta give them to you guys. Brings them. I'm eating them. Then we go play gamble a little bit. I had a tea time early in the morning. So I said, look, I got to get going. I'm walking back to the hotel. I get three quarters of the way out of the lobby, and all of a sudden I go, oh, fuck. And I'm standing here like this. I got my butt pinched so fucking, I'm fucked. I can't move. All of a sudden, you know, felt all right. I went just like this. Water.
No way.
I had some food poisoning from the crabs. Take off my leather jacket, tied it around my waist, and I'm just standing there, and it's just running down my leg. I got jeans on, black Bucks, no socks, and I just start fucking walking. Every time I'm walking, something's coming out. It's water. Straight fucking water. Then, to check how sick I was, tell you how sick I was, and then I'm standing outside, and I got on my cell phone, and I call the guy. I said, Larry, you won't believe this. I'm standing outside the fucking Bellagio. I can't move. I got shit everywhere. I shit all over myself. And Larry's about a 48 waist. So he brings me over a pair of pants and some towels. And so then he comes over and he meets me where I'm standing. I tell him where I'm standing. He finds the closest bathroom. When you go up the escalator, you go into the fuck. I can't get in the elevator.
But you are not.
So he goes in, he finds the closest bathroom in the lobby of the hotel. And then I get in the escalator. And he kind of pretends like he dropped something so no one gets behind me. He tells me where it is. I go in there. He goes and gets the towel all wet for me, throws it over the fucking stall. I take off all my fucking clothes, just wipe off, leave my shoes, left my shoes, my pants, everything right there, the towels right there in the stall. And I'm walking barefoot with my shirt and his pants that are 48 waist through the lobby like this at midnight. Got up in the morning, took the most perfect double tapered shit I've ever had in my life. True story.